This morning, it's my privilege to pray for you, Jeff. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace as you preach. Because you trust in him, you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that hope will spread to us. And through it, God will continue his work in us this week. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Woo! I'll take some of that. Hey, we've been on a series called This is Jesus, on the I Am statements of Jesus. We've been looking at what Jesus says about himself. We're looking at 8 I Am statements, and then we looked at Jesus was the one that we were waiting for, and he saves us. And last week, Len talked to us about the gate or the door. And gave us the great illustration that you cannot swim from Jersey to Portugal. It is against the laws of human nature, and that's what it's like trying to go through life without Jesus. The only way to get to God is through Jesus. And this week, we're going to be looking at John chapter 11. We looked at this several months ago. We're going to take a new look at it through Jesus' statements that he is the resurrection and the life. And so we're in John chapter 11. If you don't have your have a Bible, it's on page 1041. If you have a app, pull that app open. We're going to start in verse 21 of John chapter 11. This is what it says in John chapter 11, starting in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off their grave clothes and let them go." You can amen that. It's all right. We have some grave clothes that need removing in our lives. I want to look at this first statement of Jesus, that he is the resurrection. Martha comes to him and says, "I believe in the resurrection of the last days, Jesus." And Jesus' response to her is, "I am the resurrection." Or, "I am that resurrection that you speak of." It's not for later, just for later. It's for now as well. It's not just coming later. It's coming now and it's here. We have this part that we play in this process when we bring people to Jesus, the source of everything. Jesus does the resurrecting. I skipped ahead of myself. First, Martha says, "If you had been here," and then Mary says, "If you had been here," and then Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." They're focused on the fact that they assumed that Jesus was not with him in the midst of death. And Jesus is saying all along, "I am here, I'm with you. You don't need to fear. But Jesus, if you had been here, if you'd only been here, you opened the eyes of the blind, you gave lame people their feet to walk, you turned water into wine, you walked on water, you did all those things. If only you were here, this wouldn't have happened." And Jesus' response is, "I'm here. I'm here with you in the midst of all this. Your brother will rise again." And then we get in this section where Jesus says, "I am this resurrection that you are waiting for. It's not just for later, it's for now." And when we bring people to Jesus, the source of all power, new life can take place. I was reminded of this yesterday. My wife and I made several trips to Home Depot. It's a long story that I'll tell you about at another time. I'll talk to you about it, Haywood, who works there. But one of my numerous trips there, I was on my way back out to the car, and I saw a guy with his hood up. And I realized his car wasn't working. And he looks over at me, and he sees me coming, and he says, "Do you have jumper cables? Can you help me jump my car?" Now, the backstory to this is we never had a working car when I was growing up. Never. We were constantly breaking down. So one of the first things that I did when I became an adult was I went out and I bought my own set of jumper cables. For me or for somebody else? Because I've been there. I don't know how many times on vacation, on trips. Some of you are nodding. You feel my pain. You broke down, and you just needed somebody to show up and give you the charge that was needed to get your car going, right? And so as soon as he said it to me, I smiled, and I said, "I have jumper cables. I'll be over there in a minute." And I whipped my car around, and we connected the jumper cables to my car and his car, and I put my foot on the gas to rev it a little bit to give him a little more juice, and guess what? Nothing happened. Yeah. That's how I felt. I was all excited. I was like, this was my God appointment. I'm going to help this guy. He's going to feel good. I'm going to feel good. We're all going to feel good. And nothing. Nothing. My car didn't help him jump his car. My battery was not enough. And in that moment, I was reminded of the fact that I am not a mechanic. We're both kind of looking at his car going, "Man, I don't know what it is." And he's like, "I don't know what it is." And "Yeah, I don't know what it is." And we were just kind of staring at his car for like 5 minutes. And then I was like, "Do you have AAA? And he says, "Yeah, I have AAA. And I said, "Looks like you need a mechanic." Without Jesus, we're sitting in a Home Depot parking lot, not going anywhere. There is a mechanic for your soul who can restart your car. And he's the only one that can do it. I can bring him to you. And you can bring him to somebody else. But he is the only one who can get the car started. Or maybe a 2017 version of this, when you're looking at your phone and all of a sudden the battery light starts to blink and it dies, but you need it. You must use it to look at Facebook and play Candy Crush. It's a must for your soul. Jesus is the battery that will never go out. Your phone will always be charged. And without Jesus, we're walking around this earth waiting for our phone to die. Jesus is the resurrection of your soul. He claimed it over 2,000 years ago, and that truth is the same truth that resonates today. The mechanic of your soul is ready and waiting to restart your battery, to make it as it should be. We must, we need to call on him. So I really need to learn how to use this thing. So my question for you this morning from this first section is, what do you need? What do you need from the resurrecting Jesus this morning? Do you need new life from the power source? Do you need to be reminded today that Jesus is what you need? Do you need to choose him this morning? We've been talking about him for 8 weeks. That Jesus was the Messiah who came to live and to die to give you new life. Do you need that new life this morning? Do you need a reminder that Jesus is that new life that you were looking for? But he doesn't just stop there. He goes on to say that he is the life as well. Jesus says, I am this, that life. Martha didn't even mention that. Jesus goes on to say, I'm way more than the resurrection, Martha. I am life itself. Do you want life? Do you want real life? Do you want true life? I'll give you that true life. The one who believes in me will live. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Will never die. He goes on to say, it is life, it is this life for now and that life for the future. It's this life now and this life afterwards. It's not just after. And it's not just now, it's both. And both of those should give us hope. They looked at Jesus in the midst of this story and they said, look how deeply moved he is. He was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. And then he did what no God has ever done in the history of human writing. He wept for his creation. Len gave us this great imagery last week of a God who cares about you. It's not you trying to attain him, it's him coming to you. And sitting in the midst of his creation, he wept for his man. See how he loved this man, Lazarus. Now, I think this should cause us to come to a bunch of different conclusions about what life looks like with Jesus. This life with Jesus should look like hope. This life with Jesus should help us understand that God loves us. This life with Jesus should help us understand that though trouble comes, God cares about you. There's hope. He loves you. He cares about you. He's not just sitting somewhere wondering what's going to happen next. He's in the midst of your circumstances, no matter what they are. We have a bunch of people experiencing death lately from friends and family members. And every time I go to a funeral of someone who does not know Jesus, I look around at the faces and I feel the pain that they're feeling, because there is no hope of assurance of what has happened to their loved one, their friend, their husband, their wife, their father, their mother. And when I sit around a funeral for someone who has a relationship or had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I look around the room and I see sorrow and I see pain and I feel it, but there is also underlying behind it a sense of hope. There is a sense of hope that will carry us despite the pain. That grief, that loss will take us a long time to deal with. Some of us are still dealing with the grief and loss of loved ones in our lives. But the hope of the assurance of seeing them again for all eternity is a very different experience in life when you know what comes next. When you know what comes next. So my question for us this morning and the response to life, and we're going to talk more about life next week, life in Christ next week. What does life look like in Christ? It looks like knowing that you're not alone. God sees you and is with you. He cares and he loves you. Sometimes in our lives when we're experiencing turmoil or pain or joy and laughter, we need to hear and we need to be reminded that we're not alone, that God is with us. He sees us and he is with us in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our turmoil, in the midst of our struggle, and in the midst of our joy. We are not alone. I think the enemy's favorite word is alone. I think his favorite thing to do is to make us feel alone. With Jesus, you are never alone. Never alone. In the midst of whatever you're going through, he is with you. But life with Jesus doesn't just stop there. We're not alone because he's with us, but we're also not alone because those who love and follow after Jesus are with us as well. And I see this really simple truth at the end of this passage. Jesus goes to the grave and he says, "Lazarus, come out." But only after the people take the stone away. And then once he is out of the tomb, Jesus doesn't do what he could have done and just miraculously remove the grave clothes from Lazarus. He's done all kinds of amazing things. He's turned five loaves and two fish into a multiplying to feed over 5,000 people. He's walked on water. He's turned water into wine. He could have done that, but he didn't. He said to the people, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I believe in this life with Jesus, there's a part that we play in this. God chose for you and for me to be involved in this process. This new life in him involves you and it involves me. Removing the grave clothes. What does that look like? It looks like a bunch of different things. It looks like getting involved with a group here at the church. We have these connection groups that go throughout the fall and they just finished up in the spring. They'll restart again. When you go through life together with other people in a relationship with Jesus Christ, your needs are met. We just got a text message last night that somebody in our connection group was in the hospital. And immediately the text goes out and we start praying for them. Why? Because we're not alone. We're not alone. We have at this church healing prayer. Sometimes there are blocks or barriers in our lives that we cannot see ourselves. Other people see them. They look at us and go, "Wow, that person's really got a problem. They've got a problem that needs fixed." And guess what? We have people here at this church that can help you remove that block or barrier in your life in this healing prayer ministry. you can officially do what was done here this morning and join into membership, saying, I'm going to commit to this church to accomplish the vision and mission of this church, which is connecting people to God and each other in a fun and safe environment. As we do life together, the reality of the fact that you are not alone in this broken world begins to set in. But I think it goes way beyond that, way beyond those things. Those are all in things. But there's a huge out that we have to and we must see. I love these signs. They're popping up all over Nyack. Big red signs that say, love your neighbor. I don't know if you realize that, but that statement is from the Bible. It was first spoken by Moses in Leviticus and then Jesus. If you want to know what it's about, it's loving God and loving others. A pastor, Pastor Laura from Minnesota, in the midst of the political climate, when we were all trying to decide what we're going to do with our nation, as we saw people fighting with people and we saw Christians fighting with Christians, Pastor Laura goes, this is not right. This is not as it should be. There is a command from Jesus, and that command is love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. As we do life together, as we live life together with Jesus in one another, then truly people can see a loving God. If we don't, they cannot. We sang this song, Sweetly Broken, and every time I sing that song, I'm reminded of my cousin who passed away a couple years ago because we sang that song at her funeral. And this is what doing life together, living life together, and understanding what Jesus has done for you, when it gets modeled correctly. My cousin had come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. She was going to go to school to be a missionary, an international worker. And she had some friends that did not know Jesus, and she decided she was going to hang out with them. She went to a party, did not know that the driver of the snowmobile had a 0.246 alcohol level, and drove her into a tree, and she died. At the funeral, as we were sitting there, the friends that she had taken, or she had gone with to the funeral, were there. And then her friends who loved Jesus and loved her were there. And I thought, this is where the rubber meets the road, Christ followers. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because in our heart of hearts, what do we want to do to the people that hurt us? We want to respond by hurting them. And I watched these three girls who had brought my cousin to the party walk into the church and kind of look like this and kind of sit off to the corner. And while the funeral was going on, I watched my cousin's three friends who love Jesus get up, walk around, and walk over to the girls who had brought my cousin to that, ultimately to her death. And I watched three girls who love Jesus hug three girls that did not. I watched pain and suffering and shame begin to drop. Because three girls decided to not choose what is in most of our hearts when somebody has hurt us, and they choose to respond in a relationship that is governed and controlled by the Father. And when that happens, the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ gets modeled to a world that needs a mechanic for their soul. So my last question for you this morning in this section is, do you need this morning to join into community? Or today, do you need to walk out in community, knowing that you are not alone, that the mechanic of your soul is in charge, and he wants you to do this life together with one another? So let me recap. Three possible responses from this passage of Scripture. Do you need new life from the source? Are you a car stuck at Home Depot parking lot with nowhere to go? The mechanic of your soul is calling, saying, come to me. Let me jumpstart the battery of your life. Do you need to hear that God sees you and is with you in the midst of whatever you're going through this morning? That life, throughout its troubles and its circumstances and its pain and its suffering, do you need to hear this morning that the God of the universe is with you and he sees you in the midst of whatever you're going through this morning? Do you need reminded of that? Let me remind you that God sees you and is with you. And lastly, do you want to join in to community? Reach out to your brother or sister sitting next to you, the row in front of you, behind you, whatever it is, and say, I need to walk this journey with somebody else, not just myself. I need to know this morning that I'm not alone.